Good evening.
Good evening.
I think everybody has knows at least a little bit about the basis of Western philosophy and how it came from the Greeks and the Romans. And we know that Plato was one of the principal founders of Western philosophy. And Plato was very rational, but he also had his metaphysical side, which included a variety of myths and stories. So maybe, perhaps the most famous of Plato's metaphors talks about or describes the state of affairs of human beings in a very unique way, unique vision. Plato said that people live their lives as if they were in a cave. They face the wall at the back of the cave so that their backs are to the light. The light is behind them. And so what they see on the wall that they're looking at is only the shadows of what is taking place in real life and what is in the light. And the people believe that the shadows that they're looking at is reality. But their backs are turned. And Plato's instruction, or his method for having us see the truth of things, was for turn around from the wall of shadows and face the light. Face the light through the force of your intellect. This was Plato's message. Follow the path of reason, and you'll be able to turn around and see the real light instead of the shadows on the wall. And I once read that many historians say that Plato was influenced by Indian thought. And that's kind of interesting. And it's easy to see how that could be possible. When you consider the idea of Plato's cave and Buddhist thought, the insights are similar. People have a tendency to see shadows. In both philosophies, or both ways of thinking, both Plato's and Indian philosophy, it is shadows and delusions that create human suffering. So I think Plato and Indian thought were very similar in that way. But when it came to the meaning of turn around, they're different. It's not the same for Plato as it is for Buddhist practice, for Zen practice. So an important point that we need to understand, or that we learn from our practice, is that it is the delusions that make the cave. Not the other way around. Delusions make the cave. When our mind becomes a prisoner of our delusions, then we feel like we are trapped in a cave and we don't see reality. Trapped in a cave as if we were imprisoned in a locked cell and spent our life running around hoping to find, hoping to stumble on a key to freedom. So, when we feel that we are in a cave like that, we live our life in ways where we are always searching for a way out. How do I get out of this cave? But we don't admit it. We don't, very few people say, I have to get out of this cave. Most people won't admit that they are looking at a wall instead of reality. But still they suffer and still they are uncomfortable and they search for a way out. Of course, the starting point of finding the way out is to admit that, I'm looking at a wall, I need to turn around. But our stubbornness doesn't allow us to admit that to ourselves. So we don't directly say, I have to get out there. I'm turned around, I have to get out. But we're frustrated and we express this frustration in the various ways that we relate to the world and to each other. And ways that create discomfort and suffering, such as anger and impatience, resistance, stubbornness, indifference, criticism. This is how we respond or how we react to the frustration when our life is seeing shadows. And we don't really understand what the cause is. So, how do we break down the walls of this self-created prison? Our practice tells us not to try to figure out how to break down the walls. Our practice tells us you cannot do that. You cannot break down the walls by attacking it. You cannot break down the walls of your prison of delusions with the hammer of your intellect or of your philosophy. The way out of the cave, or the turning around, is deeper and more sensitive than an attack. More sensitive than a direct confrontation. It has to start by us seeing the wall with a new vision. And by giving our shadows, the shadows that we see, by giving them a new context. And that is by giving our consideration to how we create our own shadows. How we create our own dark and human cave where delusions flourish. This is the starting point of the way out. This is the beginning of the turning around. Actually, the shadows that we see on the wall of the cave can be very fascinating. It can be very entertaining. Our delusions seem very real. And so the cave can come to feel like a very safe place. Even when we feel that we are in a prison. This is very unusual. This is one of the traps of human thinking. So if we feel trapped in a world of shadows, it means we are really trapped by our own unreflective and conventional way of thinking. We are trapped by our attachment to the appearance of things in our everyday life. And by stubbornly insisting, this is real, this is true. No question. If we have this kind of orientation to our life, it's like living our life in a theater that is running a continuous movie, where we do not let the film end, but instead we rewind it and play it again and again. So we need to recognize, it's important that we come to understand that our delusions and our shadows are just a movie. So we respond to this understanding by sitting quietly in the empty space of what we call big mind. We are careful not to create a theater. Where we can create projections or shadows. When we don't create a theater, then we have no problem with a movie. And we are able to leave behind the conditioned world of the shadows. So, we come to this practice which says you don't have to think. Don't think. Let your mind be quiet. When we let our mind be quiet, then we can have a chance to envision alternatives to what we call in the everyday world our common sense. We have a chance to envision alternatives to what appears to us as obvious, that we don't even think about. We have a chance to have alternatives to what we habitually accept without question, insisting that what we habitually accept are necessary. So, in the solitude of our quiet mind, when we sit, we have a chance then to see beyond the limits of the walls that we impose on ourselves. The walls we impose on ourselves by our total, unquestioning, unreflective infatuation with the everyday world, with the conditioned world. And it's easy to become infatuated with the conditioned world. The world of duality, the world of shifting shadows. When we can see into the nature of the shadows, we are turned around. And there's no more cave. So these days,
these very
these days we are surrounded by technology. Some of it's pretty simple, some of it's pretty complex, but we're in a very intense time now. And where we live here, it's demonstrated by the emphasis on technology. But more and more these days, in recent years, people are starting to turn around. They are turning towards their spiritual practice because more and more people are beginning to recognize in a deep way that their lives are more sacred than they assumed, or that they have been led to believe. We know there are limits to how we see ourselves. We know we limit how we see ourselves, but we don't know how the limits have been imposed upon us. And I believe people are beginning to ask such questions. This knowing about the source of our limits, this knowing, this wisdom is very delicate. It's very subtle. It's as delicate as a spider's web. But this knowing is a sense of our universal gifts, that is our natural state. And it is a feeling, just a feeling, that our body and our mind is just one aspect of our complete being. There's another dimension. It's as if our body and mind is the partner of an unseen spiritual nature. True spiritual practice is how we become free of the artificial limits of our body and mind. So that's why we're here. people, I believe, are beginning to understand a little bit what the teachings have been saying for centuries, that this life we have is not some kind of raw material to be molded into something that we call useful. We've made the assumption that that's what we're doing. We have to be useful. This is some kind of clay we make into usefulness. But we're beginning to suspect this is not so, that there's something else going on. We are not just a component for the machinery of the modern world, or of whatever age we happen to find ourselves in. Not just these days, 20th and 21st century days, but in every age we have had technology, politics, human values, religions, art, economics, philosophy, education. We've had all of these things for centuries in every age, all of them shaping lives. And those things are necessary. They're not evil. They're not bad. They are necessary. They keep our society together. And they raise up the quality of our lives. But by themselves, they do not define who we are. It only feels that way. They are like pigments when you paint. They are like pigments that will color and shape. They are like shadows on the wall. And they are useful in daily life. Philosophy, economics, politics, religion, and so forth. They are useful in daily life, but they are not an accurate full portrait. If we think that they are, this is our biggest delusion. We are more than that. There will always be shadows. Because we live in an everyday world of transiency and impermanence. But it doesn't mean we have to be captive to these shadows. Or that we ourselves have to live like a shadow. When we practice Zazen, when we have some experience with Zazen, we come to see the shadow is just a shadow. And we recognize that our everyday mind is like a blank wall where shadows can appear. So in our practice, we sit quietly and observe our mind, recognizing the shadows as just movements of our mind. My wife and I love movies. Every week we look what's playing. We love a good movie. All of us can enjoy a movie, but when it's over, we have to go out into the light. We don't stay in the dark to watch the same thing over and over again. And the same should be true with the shadows that appear in our mind. We have to let them go and let go of the fascination for them. But it is easy to be fooled and become attached to shadows. They do they can have a very strong attraction. This attraction will diminish, and the attachment to them will loosen as our mind softens. Its fanatical and fearful grip and settles into an alternate, complete view of life. And we don't have to force it. We shouldn't try to force it. Just sitting quietly, things will clarify themselves. And our gentleness will illuminate the mind and heart like the radiance of the dawn. Does anybody have a question? Yes, please.
It is not a question, but I just want to express gratitude. Because this week I have been in the shadows for something that happened, and coming here opened me up to other realities, to maybe reality. So thank you.
Thank you. Yes, please.
A comment and a question. I think that the for me, the cave that we build for ourselves through our own delusions is fortified by our response or our reaction to the expectations other people have of us. So parents, for example, if parents have always told you that you need to be useful, you need to work hard, you need to do these things, it's a form of conditional love, right? And I guess I'm guilty of doing that with my kids. Everybody wants the best, you know, for their children. But it's, frankly, it's, I think it can be devastating to a person long-term to have to live carrying that. And I have a kind of an aside to this. My wife, when we first met, she was finishing up residency. She was an ER doctor. And emergency medicine is an interesting thing because you see people die every shift. See people die. And she told me that she had a patient, a lady who was about 100 years old, and she was dying. She had minutes to live, maybe an hour to live. And the lady told her, she said, first thing, I can't believe it's over so fast. And the second thing was very profound. She said, I can see my life very clearly now because I'm not afraid. Nothing to lose. And the expectations that people had of me my whole life don't mean anything now. And she said, I can really see my life very clearly now. And I think that's a very difficult thing to do, to let go of that fear in your everyday. It is for me. To let go of that fear in my everyday life, to really be able to see my life more clearly. So, thank you.
Thank you. That's a wonderful story. Thank you. And please thank your wife. What's her name?
Carol.
Carol. Please thank Carol for us. And where does she work now?
So she retired last year, so I work all the time now.
Okay.
No, she retired last year. She worked at Good Samaritan in Los Gatos.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Yes, Hernan?
Yes. I would like just to compliment a bit the story, because I made me memories. My father was a surgeon in Chile. And he worked a lot. He died very young, part of his first. And in his late years, he also was saying, he said, I have been at the bed with many people dying, young and old already, but many old. And he said, this is not a cliché, but he said, I know that there are sentences that are similar. But he said, truly, in my 50 years of being, 45 years of being a surgeon, I have never, ever seen a person say, I wish I had worked more. I wish I would have spent more time working. And I have never seen a person, and everyone, I mean, without a single exception, I would say, I wish I would have had more time to be with people and just to have more free time. Very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Especially here, that work is like what to do for the life. And my father was one of the workers, so he said that, and I spent my whole life listening to that, and I didn't pay attention. So this was 2 years before he died. We were working in the farm, and he told me. And now I look, as I said, I look back, and I wish I would have spent much more time with you and your sister and your brother.
Mm.
Kind of similar. Mm.
Yes, thank you. Do we have any announcements tonight?